Yo, what's up, everybody? Anthony here from the Weird Crew Podcast, coming at you once again. I am joined with, not by, blessing me with your presence. I am joined with Cynthia. Cynthia, are you there? Talk to me.
I'm here. I'm good. Finally feeling better, and I'm excited.
I'm glad you're feeling better. And I'm excited too. Cynthia, we also have our friend Drew, who, Drew, you just started your own podcast, and I'm super excited for you and with you, and I'm going to come on your podcast, and you know, you're already on our podcast, and good shit, man. I'm very excited you started your own podcast, because, bro, you're built for this. You were made to podcast. You were built different. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. Yeah, I started, got back into the podcast space, name change, brand change, the whole shebang. So now we're a Mime Soapbox.
A Mime Soapbox. I love the name.
Little stupid name, stupid picture, but it works. And it's a lot of fun. Just to have a creative outlet somewhere again.
How many episodes do you have out right now?
Two.
Two episodes.
Two. Nice. We've got a couple going today and tomorrow.
Nice, man. I'm excited, man. So you guys definitely check that out. All that will be in the description of the episode. But we're all brought together today because if you guys remember 2020, one of my favorite movies of 2020 was Wade in the Water. I love that movie. I've talked about that movie several times on the podcast. And I loved it so much that I reached out to the lead actor of that movie last year. And I was like, hey, you've got to come on and talk about this movie, man. I got to hear more about it. He came on the podcast last year. We talked about it. And he's got some new stuff he wants to talk about as well. So Tom E. Nicholson, are you there, sir? How's it going?
Yes, I am. Thanks for having me, Anthony. Drew, nice talking with you. Cynthia, very excited to have you on this time. We were missing you last time.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm so happy to have you. Well, to be part of this episode with you this time.
Yeah, I listen, we renegotiated Cynthia's contract. So now, now Cynthia is more than willing to show up for that extra money.
Money well spent.
Yeah, thank you.
Tom, what have you been up to this past year, man? Have you done any more movies, TV shows, directing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying not to lump everything into the last year because we all know it's been crazy. So in the last 2 years, 2.5 years, as far as what I've been doing is, you know, a lot of nothing as people were doing. But, you know, I was on This Is Us. I had a couple lines on This Is Us. It was awesome being on set there. I worked with Justin Hartley and in a couple scenes with him. It was a really cool experience. And then I was in some scenes with Jim Carrey on his show Kidding on season two, awesome. Episode eight, I think. So it was unbelievable working with Jim Carrey. I mean, what a dream to be on set, just me and Jim Carrey for a couple days, a couple scenes over a couple days. So during quarantine, I filmed a short film that's coming out. This great young director, Josh Lippman, who's I've done a couple things with when he started in film school. Actually, I auditioned for him in film school with there was no lines. It was just a stunt fall. And I threw myself into a chair in a classroom and he thought it was awesome. Ended up giving me a nice fun part where I get shot in the head in the middle of this. And, you know, everyone told him that was their favorite part of the movie. There's like a breath in the movie. But yeah, I did one with him. It's coming out called Therapists, which is really cool. It's like, you know, you have a guy talking to his therapist as part of the story. Then the therapist talks to their barber and then the barber vents to his Uber driver and the Uber driver vents to his masseuse and the masseuse vents to his priest. And so there's all, it's like, I don't know, 10 different characters that all have the same amount of scenes. Everyone's got an intro scene and another scene. So that was really cool. We shot that on film too, which is something I haven't done as an actor in a long time. Actual 16 millimeter, hearing that film rip through the camera and knowing that, you know, you gotta get your take done right the first time because, you know, film's expensive. So I'm very excited about Therapist coming out soon. And, you know, I know you guys love Wade in the Water and I'd love to talk Wade in the Water if you guys have any questions. But the big news is the people behind Wade in the Water, the creative team of Mark Wilson and Chris Retz, they decided to get it. You know, we had a lot of success with Wade in the Water as far as a small indie. And they wanted to do it again. So Mark had this passion project that he's been writing for 8 years. You know, you hear about these once in a while, people working on it. But finally, he's like, let's do it. And it's a kind of a love letter to save independent movie theaters. And at some point, it's going to be movie theaters in general, right?
Right.
but it's about a dying kid, teenager that knows he's going to die in the next, you know, whatever, 5-10 years. And he gets a summer job at a movie theater, and the movie theater is a dying independent theater. And there's a lot of great storylines there. And I get to play a quirky video store clerk and friends of the lead in it. So I'm very excited. So that's kind of what I've been doing.
That's awesome. Oh, nice.
So we're going to see you in another movie from the guys behind Wade in the Water. That's pretty cool.
So Chris Retz wrote Wade in the Water, and he produced it. And then Mark Wilson came in and directed it. Well, so Mark wrote this, and then Chris did a pass of it. So they're both writers on it. So, yeah, it's the same guys from Wade in the Water. And, you know, they do so much with so little. It's amazing what we did with Wade in the Water. I mean, to have Stephen King tweeting about our little, you know, tiny budget, I mean, literally no budget movie, was awesome. We had, I don't know if you know Gail Simone, she's one of the best comic book writers on the scene right now. She's been around for a while. She comments on Twitter and she loves it, and she's been very supportive. So to have that huge support of, you know, mega stars out there supporting our film has been awesome. But you know what I love? I love that you love the movie and you wanted me to come on your podcast, because I really enjoyed you know, that time of going and doing radio shows and podcasts and things like that. And you were the one that wanted me on it. And I really enjoyed it. So I want to make movies that people enjoy. And unfortunately, these guys, they don't have access to the big studio movies. Mm-hmm. So this movie Sunburst, I don't even know if I said the name of it. Sunburst is the name of the theater, but the Project Sunburst, they were able to submit it to Film Independent, which is a charity organization that helps indie films raise money. And they can do, you know, real donations that are fully tax deductible for the arts. And so they're trying to raise 50 grand to shoot Sunburst. We're going to shoot it early next year. And they're just doing this drive now between now and the end of the year. And people can go and donate $1 or $5. We're doing, I think, Buck a Monday, a buck or something. I don't know. There's some clever name that I'm missing. Coming up where they're trying to get all their followers to donate $1. So it's very cool. People that are into movies, this is kind of, you know, a movie about movie theaters and the love of movies and cinephiles. And so, you know, we're just trying to get people to go out to, you know, I'll give you all the details later, but, you know, to get out there and donate, it's very cool because it's fully tax deductible. So it's a recognized charity of the arts. So that's I'm very really, excited to work really awesome. With that team again.
So it's basically kind of like a, if I'm understanding this correctly, it kind of gets the people that love movies involved to get passion projects done, instead of, you know, hoping and praying that like a big like studio will maybe, you know, check you
exactly,
out.
Exactly. Okay. So, you know, Wade in the Water was a passion project that, you know, they had written all these big budget movies and they said, you know, let's just shoot something ourselves. Let's stop waiting for, you know, Netflix or Amazon mm-hmm. or Sony to come and want to shoot a movie. Let's shoot something ourselves. Let's, you know, beg, borrow and steal. We were able to make Wade in the Water and it was so successful. And, you know, it didn't have all those ties with it that money comes with. So indie film is indie because it's independent of money of people that want to make choices that aren't creative. So I think one of the charming things away in the water was it was one or two people's you know, thought process and their creative output. So they weren't hampered by executive producers telling them what they can and can't do. And so this way they thought Sunburst, they, you know, they won this award through Film Independent, and they, you know, they're a verified charitable organization that takes donations to the arts and, you know, fully tax deductible. So it's a cool way for people to donate to the arts. You know, there's a lot of great charities out there. So I just want to say that this is an arts charity, you know, charity for the arts. So hopefully you're still, you know, being charitable to things that really matter. But if movies matter to you too, you know, drop us $5, you know. Sell a little bit of your Dogecoin, you know.
Yeah.
we'll have that in the you know, the show notes. We'll have that link in the description of the show notes, so you guys can easily click on that. And I'll be sure to make my donation toward the arts because
I appreciate
it's important to me. And you know, I think it's a great cause. I didn't know anything about it until you spoke about it, but it sounds like an awesome cause, man. If we can get more really cool, creative, independent movies out there, man, from, you know, not the big budget guys, but people who just have a vision in their mom's basement or whatever the fuck, I think that that's awesome. And I want to see more of that.
I agree with you, Anthony.
That's the charm of this. I will tell you, so if they go to Sunburst Film on Facebook and Twitter, at Sunburst Film, or Sunburst _ Film on Instagram, you can always hit me up at Big Tommy Nicholson on Instagram. You can get to the donations. The cool thing is they post your name on a employee tag as if you work at the movie theater. And in the movie, it has their name and then their favorite movie. And it's a joke inside the movie, inside the script. Of, you know, the kid's first day, like, what's your favorite movie? And he's like, I don't know. He says something silly and they write something else on there. But so you can put your favorite movie. So it could say, you know, Cynthia, favorite movie, you know, Way in the Water. No, I'm just kidding.
I love that. I love that.
I don't know, because, you know, Cynthia, favorite movie, I don't know, Chasing Amy. That's one of my favorites. And I wanted to say that. But, you know, I don't know if you ever seen that movie.
Yes, it's a great film. It's a great film. But I you know, what's interesting about it is that I think, we're all kind of tired of seeing remakes of stuff that don't need to be remade. Like you've got, it's just kind of a reboot of the same thing over and over and over again. And it feels like we're just being told the same joke over and over again. And so I love the idea of, regular people that just love cinema being able to be like, hey, you know what? We can do it together. We can get this project up and running. So we get to watch something that isn't just, sorry, like the same five characters doing the same thing over and over
the
again.
The same epic comic book movie. You know,
which is fine. And it has its place. It has its place. And I don't want to, you know, diss anybody's favorite movie or anything like that. But it is nice to be able to see that, you know, these things are important. Look at during the lockdown. I mean, we were all kind of like, what do we watch next? What do we do? I didn't want to talk about COVID anymore. And so I wanted to talk about a different TV show or movie. And so, you know, sometimes we think like, oh yeah, it's just a movie or it's just TV. But some of those things are really impactful. So I think this is great. And the fact that it can just get those really fresh ideas out there, I'm so on board with it.
Yeah, you know, Wade in the Water came out at the perfect time. It was what, September of 2020. So we were right in the middle of the thick of things and people were kind of done. A lot of the major theaters, as you see now, held back big movies. Top Gun, Ghostbusters, The Avengers, all these Marvel movies. They held them back because they couldn't afford to just sell them to, you know, maybe, I don't know, they couldn't afford to just sell them to a streamer. They probably could have, but they wanted to make some box office money too.
Right, yeah.
And, you know, it's Wade in the Water found a nice little shelf on Amazon where people could, you know, I can't even believe Stephen King, you know, clicked on the movie to watch it. Never mind, decided to tweet how much he liked about it. That blows my mind.
That's so cool.
But we're in a day and an age where if you want to, you know, search through, you know, Netflix or Hulu or Amazon, or whatever, you can find these indie films and they have a place now. And, you know, everyone is, look, you're right. Marvel movies they all, you know, serve a purpose. And by the way, your next episode is going to be, you know, sponsored by Marvel. So be careful. You know,
for sure.
The Marvel universe. No,
don't take the devil's money.
I'm still trying to get a sponsor from Shudder. I don't know what Shudder, if y'all listen to this, where are y'all at? All right. I love the horror movies. I've had on a couple of actors from Shudder. Where are y'all at, Shudder?
Come on. Nice.
Give me a promo code off for the listeners or something.
Nice. I've done stuff with Blumhouse, so, you know, maybe we can talk about there and see if we can.
So, Tom, there's also something important that we do need to talk about. You are officially a grown man now, Tom. You're 40.
Oh, you really had to go? Yes. Yes, I had a COVID 40 birthday in January. I'm actually rounding 41 in about a month, or as I say, next year. next January or January coming up, I'll be 41. But look, 40 was tough. It was a Zoom call with all my family and friends, and it wasn't what I thought 40 would be. But I got to tell you, 39, I sneaked that in before 39. My parents flew out to, you know, from Boston and or south of Boston, a little town called Marshfield. And you know, I live out in LA now, and my parents they travel to Florida or Aruba, and that's it, you know.
Okay.
They've been out here once in, what, 18 years I've been out here. And I pull up after brunch one day, on my birthday, and my parents are standing in my driveway, and my jaw just dropped. It was like another universe. I was like, you would have thought a wormhole opened up or something. Like, I just couldn't believe my sight. But anyways, they came for my 39th birthday, and, you know, they were talking about waiting for my 40th, and we had no idea that we wouldn't be able to travel then. But I had an amazing 39th birthday. We were down by the pool, had a party at the pool party with all my friends. So 39 was awesome. 40, yeah. I am a man now. I guess I'm an old man now. I like to think I was a man before. I'm just an older man. Thank you for pointing that out.
You're just refined. You're
yes,
like a wine, like a nice wine.
I have a little more salt in this beard of mine than I had last year. That's for sure.
Well, I think we all do, don't we? From the stress of all of this, I think I caught one little white hair, and I was just freaking out. Like, don't do this to me.
I don't know about y'all, but I'm aging like Benjamin Button. All right, I look better than I ever had. Drew, how are you looking, sir?
Oh, I'm as gorgeous as ever.
Exactly. Exactly. So speak for yourselves, please.
I can get real hairy real quick. And during that year and a half, I didn't go to a barber or really care about my beard. Actually, there's a picture on my Instagram that has a headshot, and I put the same shirt on and took a shot next to it and put it next to each other. And I was like, pre-COVID and during COVID. And it looks like a special effects makeup artist made me look crazy.
Well, I wish I was sponsored by Manscaped, because now would be a great time to slide in a promo. But unfortunately,
Unfortunately not.
We got zero going.
I really want to be sponsored. I got some nice Insta followers and a healthy number there. And so I do get people who ask me to promote things. And I'm really trying to get this. It's Gentleman Jack. It's like they do soap, and they started doing hand sanitizer that I fell in love with, and I've been reaching to breathing down their necks, but maybe they'll hear this and reach out to me. I should get their name right. Every Man Jack.
Right? Well, you were trying to do some plus size stuff too, right?
Yeah. It's funny you say that. I'm a big guy. For those of you who haven't seen Wade in the Water, I'm a very, very large human being, and I have been since the day I stepped foot on this earth. So you can try to tell me that my lifestyle's crap, and you'd be wrong, because I eat well, I exercise. But I was I was in the top 10% obesity the day I stepped foot on this planet. So I'm a big dude, and I always want to get better, but at the same time, I gotta love myself. So it's always that trick of loving the person I am in my size, but also wanting to get better, because you just don't want to be, if you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards with anything in life. But I always looked at these big and tall catalogs and online and all this, and it's the same couple guys, and they're like a 2XL. And I'm thinking to myself, you can go to whatever stores people shop at these days and get 2XL shirts there, This big and tall store that is advertising to me, these guys don't represent me, Right. And look, as a straight white male, I get that. Oh, okay. I'm not being represented. I get it. Maybe I don't fully get it, but it's at least I can start to understand. But here I was like, I'm not being represented. We're not being represented here. I know how that shirt looks on a 2XL, but you sell up to 9XL. Let's get someone in the middle and see, even my mom, who's a bigger lady, she said the same thing. She's like, I want to see how the shirt looks on someone big, because I want to see if I buy it. So I had this thing. I put it up on Instagram, and I said, I'll tell you a secret, that I always wanted to be a plus size model. And not that I think I'm particularly handsome or anything. I mean,
You're very good looking, sir. Give yourself some credit.
Thank you. Yes. But my point is, I didn't want to become model because I thought I was particularly good looking. I wanted to have somebody on there that represents the bigger size people. And it, the one place that we should be represented is in a big and tall catalog,
Oh, absolutely.
So I put it up there, and I said, and then my other thing is, well, if someone's going to do it, why can't it be me? Right. So, so I put it up there, and I got huge, a couple thousand, 5,000, 6,000 people liked it, 200 comments, DXL, which is the big and tall store, they reached out to me and, you know, they had me enter this contest. I haven't heard much from them, but I'm really trying to position for that, because that's kind of like a lifelong dream, just to see somebody represented in these catalogs. It isn't just tall or
listen,
a two or
representation 3X, so. Is important no matter, you know, what you are. Like, if you don't see yourself being represented, it doesn't feel good. So I think that's amazing. And the fact that, like, I can see the difference between a small and a medium when it's like a barely noticeable, I would want, you know, if I was a bigger person, I would really want to see the difference between, you know, a large and then my actual size. You know, I would want to see that definitely in a catalog that's specifically targeted at me. So I think that's great. And the fact that you have so many fans like saying the same thing, I really, really hope you get that, because that would be huge.
It struck a nerve, and that was cool. You know, it was like, you know, I've been following the body positivity hashtags and all those things, and it struck a nerve with people, and they were like, yes, you know. And you can relate this to anybody that's not being represented, and we can get into that whole thing. But, you know, it's just I'm not saying I should be in a full, you know, naked folio at in Vogue or something, or Vanity Fair. I get it. That's not for me. But, you know, the guy that's trying to sell me a 6XL button down, I'd like to see a guy that's a 4 or 5 XL exactly, in the catalog.
But Tom, you were butt ass naked in Wade in the Water, though.
It was implied nudity.
It was implied that you were playing with your Peter as well.
But yes, that was that scene was bigger at first. I saw a couple cuts of it, and I had to warn like my parents and my in-laws about that. I said, look, there's a scene, and you know what? By the final product, it was just touched on and then moved on, you know, pun intended. It wasn't hit you over the head with what's going on. But it's funny you mentioned that scene, because look, I grew up in south of Boston, like the beaches of Cape Cod. And I wouldn't take my shirt off as a kid. And I was on the beach for 3 months straight. You know, I never left the beach, go home and sleep and eat and go back to the beach. And now here am I with, you know, I'm a 40-year-old man, as Anthony liked to point out. And I'm on set with a camera filming me with my shirt off. And it was just like a sense of, something clicked, and I said, you know, I this confidence I have now, I now know who I am, and I love who I am. I'm always trying to get better. I'm always trying to, you know, eat right, exercise more, and get better. But I'm in love with the person that I am now. And that was such a huge eye-opening awakening for me, you know, that confidence built from when I was 7 on the beach in Cape Cod to on screen, you know, on set.
Yeah, you know, that must have been a really big moment for you. And I love that
liberating.
Because there's going to be somebody else that's going to see that and be like, hey, I can, you know, you never know who's watching and who has a dream of, like you said, loving themselves, and they just don't see themselves on screen. And so you doing this, having, you know, the, hey, I love myself and I want to put myself out there. That's just, I think that's another reason why the whole cinema and TV shows and stuff is really great to have and to support, and not just have it be big corporate people that are picking the same, again, 5 people that are, of course, beautiful, and of course, you know, 6 packs.
And there'll always be a place for them, you know?
Of course.
There'll always be a place. It's like, you know, Terry Crews says, you know, we don't have to fight over the same piece of pie. Go get the ingredients and make your own pie. There's enough for everybody. Why are we fighting over, oh, these roles have to be for those people? Will still exist. There's enough stuff out there. There's enough content that we can all, you know, bigger people can be represented in things. And that's why being on This Is Us was such a big deal for me, you know, because they're one of their lead character, Chrissy Metz, she's a large girl, and she's in one of the, you know, This Is Us is one of the biggest shows for years.
One of the biggest shows, yeah. And doesn't she have like an amazing singing voice? I think I just saw like the finale is coming up or something.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry. If I could just interject very quickly, our good friend Drew would like to ask a question.
Oh yeah, go for it.
I do. Yeah, so someone came up. So first off, I mean, talking about what we were just talking about, as long as you feel good about yourself and you're always trying to do better, that's all that matters in the end of the day. No matter what the situation is, really. But secondly, something struck me really early in this conversation I haven't been able to touch on, but you said recently was one of the, if not the first time you've worked with real film. Is that correct?
It's the first time in a long time.
Long time.
You know, early, I started my career in 2003 officially in Hollywood, and there were a couple projects shooting on film, but I haven't seen it in 10 or 15 years on set.
Well, my question about that is there's got to be some sort of weird energy or spirituality that comes across when you're actually, you know, filming on physical medium compared to a digital, you know, a hard drive or an SD card. How strong is that, like, energy and environment when doing so, and how much does it change you and everyone else that you're working with, you know, either in front of or behind the camera, in creating this final product, knowing it's going to be actually like a physical, tangible object on a reel?
I mean, it is like night and day. It is completely different being on, especially on a low budget short film, where they know how much film they have in their head. And the first scene I shot, I was talking, my character's talking to a priest. And so there's not a lot of back and forth. There's just my character talking to the priest, which, you know, kind of like monologue-ish, you know. And I could, you know, I'm over in the corner waiting for them to set up, and I hear the producer talking to the director and being like, hey, we can do one take of this. This is like, this scene's 2 minutes. That's X number of feet of film. And I'm thinking, did she just like, one, I wish she didn't tell me that. I didn't hear that. and two, I'm thinking, well, I really need to nail this. And, you know, they wanted my Boston accent, which was cool, but I've been trained for so long to try to lose it and not act with my accent. And they wanted it. And I was really cognizant of that, of like, okay, make sure you actually are being your genuine self with your accent. So there was so much pressure that once, but I like to think, you know, I found when I was in sports and in high school that I do pretty well under pressure. When the pressure's on is probably when I do some of my best work. And so I was like, all right, well, let's, I mean, what's the worst that happens? You know, it's like, let's get it from, but everything is way more concise. Everyone is on point. It's funny you said it, 'cause I was just listening to, not to plug another show, but I was listening to Howard Stern, and Ben Affleck was on there this week. And he was talking about the same thing, of the discipline of, you know, roll, action, cut. Like, it's just quick. And you just say your lines in between them. When you're shooting digital, you know, it's just hard drive space. And yes, that is expensive, but it's not nearly as expensive as film. And so they just keep the camera rolling all the time, and it's loose. It's like, all right, now do a take for you. Now do one angry. Now it was like, we're going to talk about the take you're going to do. You're going to do it one way. If we don't like it, we'll do another. But if we like it, we're moving on. So I sat there, I did my eye line, they yelled cut. They went in for one line on a close up, and I was out of there. And so it is like a different world shooting with film these days, especially on a low budget thing where they are counting the feet of film in their cans.
So with this move, I mean, it's not even a move, it's been around for forever now, but with the move to digital recording, it seems like it's taking a lot of power out of direction, and then also taking a lot of instinct out of filming as a whole. Is that fair to say?
Yes, it's preparation. So with film, you have to prepare. You have to rehearse 100 times with the director, you know, or whatever it is. You have to know what the director wants, you know. One of the good things about digital is when you're doing a comedy, you can do things different ways, right? Some of those brilliant things, and you ever watch the reels from old school, the behind the scenes footage? Some of the funniest stuff that come, you know, made it in the movie is this: just them, oh, just roll camera, just riff, just do a scene how you want to. You really can't do that when you're doing low budget film and even higher budget film. This is the way everything's prepared. So when that camera's rolling, everyone knows what's going to happen, hopefully. So you're absolutely right in that it changes the ability to improvise, and it's different. I liked it, but I also like, you know, if I'm doing comedy, I want to do digital because just let me go, you know, let me be silly. Yeah. Let me see what pops in my mind. But this was a drama. This were lines that were scripted. The director wanted us to be word perfect. And so it was, you know, it was intense. I enjoyed it. I'm not sure I'd want to do it every day, though.
Yeah. So I guess the last thing on this subject for me personally, which thanks for humoring me with these questions, but does, I guess with actually filming to film brings a certain intensity that could be lost otherwise, just with how prescribed, practiced, and ritualized the whole experience is, that like it really brings like a full frontal intensity on the scene you're shooting.
Yeah. Sorry. Was there, So yes, absolutely. It's, I mean, even the look of film, we just get into the technical aspects of it, but of what film looks like now they can fake it pretty good digitally. But film, yes. So, you know, when we shoot, you know, 8K, we have cameras shooting 8K now, we can shoot a medium shot and then also zoom in for a close up and there'll be no loss of resolution. So, you know, it gives you a leeway. Here in film, it's like you shoot a wide and then you have to swing a lens, move the camera, bring everything together. And it just creates more of an intense, you know, you have to be on your game from go. Like everything is 2 minutes left in the Super Bowl driving down the field, whereas not shooting film, it's a lot less intense. And you can still get that. Great directors will still pull that intensity. I mean, Wade in the Water was shot on digital and, you know, the director was able to pull that intensity, but it was a little more looser. If I didn't get it, I'd start over, or, you know, you just say, oh, let's start again. You know, keep rolling. I got this. You can't do that on, you know, when you're shooting film and people are counting feet. So it is much more intense, I think, if that's the answer. And you don't have to thank me for answering your questions. I don't know if you've talked to a lot of actors, but we love talking. So you never have to apologize.
Imagine that, right?
We love talking about ourselves, especially.
So. Well, I know I'm just pulling away from conversation. I just, there was that. I've been thinking about that for the last like 15 minutes now. Like, man, it's got
to
be intense.
Well, listen, Drew, what you have to understand about recording with Cynthia is sometimes you just have to take those questions.
Right. Yeah,
you're not going to get a chance if you don't. You just got to jump in and growl.
If we hear your voice, you know, Cynthia's like me. We get excited about things and we get rolling. But you know, generally, if you hear someone's voice, you'll slide them in and you'll know. You know, the virtual hand.
You get me.
No, but yeah. But that's why Cynthia gives me full authority to jump in at any point.
Absolutely.
I'm always like,
you got to jump in because I get too passionate sometimes and I'm like, tell me more.
No such thing as too passionate. Drew, I want to say this to you also. The movie Sunburst is about, which we're going to shoot, is about cinephiles. Actually, my character has a cold chamber in the back of this video store that houses 35 millimeter prints of famous movies. And I'm kind of this black market guy. I don't want to give too much away. So the idea of film more from a viewer of movies rather than a maker of movies, though the character is making his own 16 millimeter in it. It definitely looks at what you're talking about. So, you know, I hope you get to check Sunburst out when it comes out. But it does play on that theme that you're talking about.
Yeah, no, that sounds super great, actually.
Yeah, we're all watching this shit day one, Tom. I promise.
Absolutely.
I'll get you a party at my house for it with the projector outside and popcorn machine running.
And beer, because if you don't know this about Drew likes beer.
Nice. Well, I mean, you know. You know, anyways, look, if you guys end up going and you know, donating a dollar on on our Facebook or whatever through the link at Sunburst Film, they will put your name in the credits. So you can feel like you're an executive producer. And then you get that digital tag of being working at the Sunburst Theater with your favorite movie on there. So this is built for cinephiles, you know. This movie is a love letter to movie theaters and film. So. You know, if that's what you're into.
Well, I'll put $10 down tonight. You're going to put $10 on it?
It's done. And my name is going to be in the credits.
There we go. Let's
do it. There it is.
And a selfie of me in the mirror. So, you know,
yes. See how handsome I love it. Once you donate, you'll get an email from the Film Independent. But then a day or two later, you'll get an email from, Mark or someone from the movie Wade. The team from Wade Water, they'll send you a message and they'll ask you what your favorite movie is. And then you'll get a tag, a digital tag of
nice.
You can actually put mine up yesterday on my Instagram and Facebook. If you want to check it out. It's very cool. It's just silly, but if you love movies and you love movie theaters, it's like, it's pretty cool. So, you know, I'm glad to, you know, put my $10 in or whatever you want. You can put in and be part of the movie. So.
Absolutely.
Well, Tom, with all your experience and life spent in this field, what is your favorite film then?
Well, you know, it's always hard. It's like picking children. I do have one that's my go-to, and it's the Boondock Saints.
There you go.
And that it's for me that it delivers on so many levels. And you wanted me to tell you the truth. I didn't even like it the first time I watched it. I was like, I don't really get it. And then I watched the second time. Yeah,
Other people have said that too. You're not the first time I've heard that. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't love it the first time I watched it. And then same with Super Troopers, right? Like a comedy. I thought Super Troopers, I was like, the more I watched it, I'm like, this is brilliant. These guys are unbelievable, you know? And the more I watched Boondock Saints and being from Boston, I was really excited to see my town in there. And, you know, this is before The Departed and The Town and all those movies. And so it was really cool to see, you know, Boston in the late 90s. And The you know, this actually touches back to what Cynthia was talking about. It's the same old friggin' story told in different by different characters, sometimes the same friggin' characters. This movie is so original, you know, where it runs linear and then stops and then jumps to the future and they show you what happened an hour ago and then it works back to, you know, if you haven't seen the movie, it's just, you know, it shows you a scene of dead people all got shot up, and it's then, you know, Willem Dafoe, who I absolutely love and have
amazing
able to work with and meet. He's an amazing guy. He comes in and he tries to figure out what happened, and then they play backwards of what, you know, they play back what happened. And that's just, to me, that was a really original take on it. And, you know, there was some mysticism in there, right? Are these guys sent from gods? Are they the dark angels? And on the surface is really funny stuff in there, you know, like the guy shoots his cat and he's like, you know, should you shoot my cat? You know, I shot your stupid cat, you druggy bitch, you know? And it's like, there's some great one-liners in that, you know, what's its name? And he's trying to get her to say what the cat's name is, 'cause she's all upset it's gone. But anyways, there's comedy in the movie. There's original story. And like Cynthia was saying, that we're missing that original story. And that's why The Boondock Saints is one of my favorite movies. And if you watch the beginning of Wade in the Water, I talked Mark into doing that, where you see my character about to kill somebody at the first minute of it. And then the next half an hour, 45 minutes or half an hour of the movie catches up to that scene, which was a little ode to The Boondock Saints.
Oh, that's cool.
That's beautiful.
I love it, Tom. Listen, man, I know you got to skate out of here in just a couple minutes. So I really do want to, you know, thank you for reaching out to us and coming back on the podcast and finally getting to talk to Cynthia for the first time, because, you know, let's be honest, Cynthia makes this podcast great, not me. I just show up.
I got a couple minutes here, but let's schedule me and Cynthia for a solid hour session, because I love, you know, I feel like we could talk about some stuff, you know.
Let's make it happen. You know what? I've done a few podcast episodes without Cynthia, and I think it's time Cynthia does one without me. Let me take a night off.
Earn my keep.
I mean, not only did I have Cynthia, but then having Drew here is pretty great. You know, it's more the merrier. You get different perspectives of things, or people pick up on different things, you know?
And Tom, we're going to go surfing one day, man, when I'm out in LA and it's a little bit warmer. We're still going to do that, man. Get me out there in the water. Show me the ropes.
Yeah. I mean, the next time you're in LA, you know, I think I saw you one time and I was like, hey, you in LA? Like, you know, I'll get you out there. And my friend,
you're down the street from my house, bro.
Yeah. Well, it's Santa Monica. I'm in the Palisades. I'm 7 minutes from Santa Monica Pier. Via the PCH. So, I live in a great spot, great surf spot. I actually had a pretty bad surfing accident, not to scare you, but it was a place that I've been surfing for a long time. And I just, the wave doubled up and it's, once the wave crashes, it comes back. And so there's waves coming towards the beach and this way. And then there was a wave that it crashed. It was coming away from the beach and it doubled in size and just dropped me straight in my face. And I had two black eyes. I had a huge scrape down the side. I drove my head into the sand, and anyways, I tore my rotator cuff. So I've been taking it easy for surfing for the last year, because this was August of 2020. But yes, I'd love to get back in the water now. I just, it was kind of a freak thing.
You got slowed down being 40 now, you know.
I appreciate that line of conversation about
true concern.
I can tell that none of you guys are 40 from based off of your lax.
I think me and Drew are the oldest. We're 33, and Cynthia, You're what, 25?
I don't know. I'm 17. No, I don't even know. When was I born? 89? Something like that. I'm like going to be 30.
We're like 10 months apart, 11 months apart.
Nice. Today's my best friend, Brendan McDonald's birthday. Shout out to him, turning 41. But he's been my best friend for a long time since I moved to LA. But I always say, look, you know, I'm not going to be 41 till next year, even though we're only a month and a week apart. You know, I like, he's in December, I'm in January. Hey, you're, you know.
Those months count, man.
Yeah, those weeks, literally weeks are the only weeks. I'm like, hey. The fact that he's in December and I'm in January, I can always be like, hey, I'm not to 41 till next year, bro. So happy birthday, Brendan. I'm sure when you hear this, it won't be your birthday, but today is your birthday.
All right. Well, we're going to have the link in the description, show notes of the episode to where you guys can go make your donation and help out the small independent films, because, you know, they'll always have a special place in my heart. I'm always scouring the earth for a film that I've never heard of that has an interesting description.
For all you cinephiles, all you movie lovers, all you people that love the film itself, the media of 35 millimeter film, please come check us out on Facebook, Twitter at Sunburst Film, and Instagram Sunburst_film. And always hit me up. Please follow me on Instagram so I get more money to post about men's skincare and stupid shit that they pay me for. And I'm at Big Tommy Nicholson on Instagram. So, and I'm trying to get the verified, man. Anyone know how I can get verified? Because I've been trying.
It's weird the way that they verify some people and then they don't with others. I've seen it on other social media platforms. It's kind of a weird thing. So, but
you'll always be verified in my heart, sir.
I appreciate, that's what I appreciate about you.
You don't need anyone else to verify yourself, sir.
it would help with the endorsements, I guess.
Yes, though. It would. Make that money.
You know? And thank you for letting me talk about being the plus size, you know, big XL model thing. That's like something near and dear to my heart. Not even just that, but talking about the stigmatism of big people. People assume everyone is big because they have a shitty lifestyle or they don't care about themselves. And look, some people do, you know, some people do have shitty lifestyles and some people don't care about themselves, but you can't assume, you don't know. And that goes in everyone's part, you know, by the time, don't judge anybody, you know, on things that you don't know about. You know, you don't
well,
know
and
about
like you said, you could be living a shitty lifestyle and still be thin. I mean, I don't.
I know plenty of people. So. So it's just a stigmatism that, look, yes, are there people that are, you know, people watch these 500-pound life shows and things like that. And it's like, those people are terrible. I don't really watch them. I've seen a little of them and I can't because, you know, they don't do anything and they show them eating all this fast food. And it's like, I get that that's them, but that's not me. I'm, you know, I'm in the pool 5 days a week, you know, swimming laps and lifting weights and, you know, eating fish and chicken and vegetables, doing what I can. So I think it's important out there just to know that, look, not everybody, you just can't assume, like you see someone with cancer, you don't assume they smoked cigarettes. They may have. And they may have lung cancer because of it, but they also may just genetically be disposed to cancer. I'm not saying being obese is the same as having cancer. Definitely not. But my point is you just can't judge, you know, by what someone looks like. It's just we're in a new world. We're in a woke world where this stuff is all coming out. It's nice. You know, I like my girl Lizzo out there, man. She's running the forefront, you know, of healthy, big people. I love her so much. And I just wish, like, I get that her music maybe necessarily wasn't geared towards me, but I love it. You know, like,
well, hey, like what you like.
Yeah, no, exactly. But I just mean, like, you know, I don't think I was her target audience, but like, it affects, like, Lady Gaga. She has a song, "Baby, I Was Born This Way," and it just struck a nerve with me. And
yeah,
I was
like, but Lady Gaga can actually sing, though.
Yeah. Oh, well, you don't think Lizzo can sing?
She can sing.
I think Lady Gaga can. I think I can sing better than Lizzo, and I'm not even funny. I think Lady Gaga is like a generational, like,
And this is what gets us canceled. Nothing else that we say will ever get us canceled. It'll just be Lizzo,
I love you, and I strongly disagree. As far as Gaga goes, I actually got to see Gaga for – she's got House of Gucci coming out. I'm on the SAG nomination committee this year where I got all the screeners. I've seen all the movies, but I got to go to a screening of House of Gucci with Lady Gaga and Jared Leto, who I think is one of the best actors of our generation.
And then, for that Joker, right?
I don't know.
That was my favorite Joker.
All right, I'm in the minority. You know what? He did great. He did great in the Joker.
I think
Heath Ledger set such a bar, like high bar for the Joker, that everything after that, and then Joaquin Phoenix obviously did his thing. So
I loved all of it. Look, I think different takes on the same character.
Yeah, sometimes you just get lost in the shuffle, I guess.
So I was at the screening, and you know who showed up? And then Al Pacino shows up unannounced to do the Q&A. So I got to do a Q&A in the theater with, you know, Lady Gaga. You're right, one of the best voices of our generation. And then Jared Leto, who I think is one of the best actors of our generation. I mean, he's just unbelievable. And then having a legend in his own time of Al Pacino there, it was very cool. And I was very lucky to be a part of it.
What a freaking day that would have been. Like, I don't even know what I would have done. Like, that's really awesome. I love that. And they seem to be very kind people.
They were there for an hour talking, and you know, you kind of get to see people's personalities when they're live in front of you. And I wish I could be friends with Gaga. Stephanie, if you're listening, can you DM me? Because I'd like to be a friend. I think she lives up in Malibu. That's her real name, Stephanie. She lives up in Malibu. So like, that's right down the street. You know, hit me up.
Hey man, just show up one day.
Yeah, I don't think they like that. I don't know a lot about celebrities, but I don't think they like that.
Hey, I'm Tom. Yeah. How are you?
You know,
I was just in the neighborhood. I thought I'd stop by and check in on you and see if you like surfing.
Yeah. Quick story. I got to work with Bieber. I work behind the camera too. I've been working as a production manager for 18 years too. So I've seen both sides, but I was doing a job with Bieber, and I went into that thinking, I don't really know much about him. I never was a huge fan of his music, not my genre. And you know, I he's a kid, he was rich, and I was probably jealous that he had so much money as a kid. And you know, all this trouble he was in. And I met him, and this was 2019, December. And he was the nicest freaking kid. He was a man. He's the nicest man. He was smart. He was calm. We had about 12 people there for this video shoot. And he did his own wardrobe. He had one person checking his hair and makeup, but he didn't have a whole crew there. And he was so creative, but he thanked everyone every day at the end of the day for being there. And he's now one of my favorite people. I mean, I ain't friends with him, but you know, we talked for a little while that day. And, certainly, that's another thing is that you
I think he don't gets judge a bad people. Rap, man. I think
well, you know, I mean, he admits it.
He grew up in the spotlight. I mean, you can't. I mean, he. I think he was being a brat at one point, but you know.
Sure, but if you gave me $20 million,
exactly.
He's turned around though.
I'd be dead. You know, if you gave me $20 million at 18, I would have been. You know, I would have been Chris Farley out of this world a long time.
You wouldn't have put it all in Dogecoin at the time.
Yeah. You know, hey, to the moon, ship, man, ship. That's a new one. So sell your Doge and buy some ship.
I made a guy really angry the other day when he was trying to explain to me what cryptocurrency was. And so I just said, oh, is that kind of like Kohl's cash? And the man imploded. It was just such a beautiful thing. So I think that's going to be my go-to, like, you know,
yes,
Dogecoin, all this stuff. It's like Kohl's cash.
Like Disney dollars? Is that Disney Kohl's dollars? Cash? I love it. I love your mind. You know, as a hobby, I've picked up the crypto, and I figured if anyone's listening, I could give, you know, SHIB and Doge a bump.
So, oh, absolutely. You know. Yeah.
But no, I've been enjoying small hobbyist of crypto trading.
I'm trying to wrap my head around the whole thing. It's not that I don't get it, but it's maybe I wish it wasn't a thing. I don't know. I feel like I still need to read a little bit more.
I'd say be careful that you don't end up like our grandparents in the internet. You know what I mean? Where it's like, well, I don't get it. I don't want it. No, you have to embrace technology.
The thing is, I'm a grandparent accidentally.
Yeah, so, you're a 32-year-old grandmother.
And so I've turned into this like crotchety old lady that's like, like yelling.
Get off my lawn.
Who's this Megan Thee Stallion? You know, you gotta stay up with it, or you're gonna get left behind.
It's amazing the amount of things like the metaverse and all this other stuff that I'm like, yes.
If you look in my Google history, in the last week was what is the metaverse?
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm learning. You know, hey, if you're not moving forward, you're moving backwards. You
absolutely,
know what I mean?
I'm moving at a snail's pace, but I'm trying.
All right, Tom. I do gotta go. I gotta hit that famous 405 traffic in LA right now and get to my next gig. But guys, great talking with you, Cynthia. Awesome to meet you, Drew. You know, hey, get out there. You had great questions. Interrupt people like me and Cynthia. We'll just keep talking
all the time. Yeah, you got
to
do it.
I want to listen to your podcast. I want to hear you. You know, get in there and get what you need to do. Anthony, pleasure. Thanks for reaching out to me. Everyone, guys, I'm going to say it one more time: at Sunburst Films on Facebook and Twitter, Sunburst_film on Instagram, and I'm Big Tommy Nicholson on Instagram. Thank you for letting me just talk about film and things I love to do. It's an amazing thing.
Always, brother. And you can find us at Weird Crew Podcast on Instagram and leave us a 5-star written review wherever you get your podcast. Drew, one more time, what's your podcast name?
A Mime's Soapbox.
And that'll be in the description of the episode as well, along with this being broadcasted on his podcast. So we're going to get the hell out of here, guys. We love you as always. Stay weird and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Be smart. Be safe, everybody.
All right. Take care, guys.